and welcome to Side Dish, your podcast about Longmont. Everything you want to know and very little that you need to know. I am your host, Brady Steffel, and as always, I am joined by the intrepid...
Annie Larner.
Annie Larner. Today we are joined again by Patrick and Lisa Balcom.
Yeah.
Yep.
Balcom. So I'm organized. I got notes and stuff.
Brady has notes right now.
It's super weird.
I'm still just floored.
Yeah, so we've got a couple restaurateurs who currently own and operate two restaurants in Niwot. We got Faro.
Yep, you got it right.
Faro, like Will Barrow? No. Yep. Like, not like Will Barrow, not Faro.
Not Nero, but Faro.
Faro.
Yeah, you get used out of that one?
One of my friends did. Yeah. I use it once in a while when people are asking how to pronounce it. So
that tracks.
Yeah.
That'll make it stick. So that's a farm-to-table experience. And then you've got Pie Dog Pizza, which mm-hmm. is a neo-New York brick oven style.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's neo-New York?
We just learned about that. So it's kind of like a Neapolitan New York kind of crossover deal. So.
It looked good.
Oh, yeah. It's really good.
Yeah. Oh. So instead of just what would be the difference between Neapolitan and New York?
Probably the toppings.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So
New York's what, more like sausage or something?
Yeah, we do all the classic American stuff. So
Okay. Okay. So that's where the New York part comes.
Yeah.
And then Neo's more of the crust or what?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And so we've got you guys back. It's been about 3 years. I actually found the episode.
Oh, what? Who are you?
Someone
else has embodied you. This
medicated,
is weird.
And now I organize drawers. I went through, I'm like, where's this cable? I can't ever find a thing in this drawer. And then I started like winding up all this like USB-C, micro USB on this side, wind it up, tidy. So now my cable drawer, I'm like, I got too many of these. I got to get rid of this thing.
I need to have you come over to my house.
I can barely... I'm on the edge in my own place. We're getting there. So we're getting through it. But you guys are back because you're launching a new Japanese concept in the soon-to-open food hall in Longmont. And the internet is like, I want to know what's going on in there. What's happening? I don't know. When are they open? Who's going to be in there? We're super excited. We're just excited to have you.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining.
Yeah, happy to be here. Yeah, I feel like it's been super quiet over there so far. Like, they haven't really leaked a lot of information. Not that they're being secretive about it by any means, but I just don't feel like it's really like been put out there yet. So.
Right, right.
Loose lips sink ships.
Yeah.
Right? Well, that's what one restaurateur is arguing.
So to lance this one, I saw a guy on Facebook, the moderator of the Longmont Voices of whatever, and he was eating ceviche from, reviewing ceviche from Costco.
Oh, I think I saw that.
Yeah. So one of the questions I wanted to open with you guys, just to kick this whole thing off, is would you guys eat ceviche from Costco?
No. I don't even have to think about that.
It's a big hard pass.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. I try to avoid grocery store anything for the most part.
But... Yeah. Seems a little weird to me too. It's
like, yeah, it's I didn't even know that was a thing.
Honestly. I didn't either.
Yeah,
I thought it was alarming.
Yeah, it's a little alarming. Ceviche is really meant to be prepared with fresh seafood. You're eating it raw,
like,
so it's
day.
Like being cooked with citrus, like the acid from the citrus. So I don't know how you make that shelf stable long enough to like not make yourself sick from it.
Gamma rays.
Makes
me nervous. Yeah. I would think like the Hulk and ceviche, just gamma rays, you know, just keep them stable, right? So we'll start off going around Longmont.
Yeah, buzz around 10. What you got?
Well,
I don't know. Well, okay. So they went ahead and they announced the name of the restaurant that's going to be at Hotel Longmont, which is a reminder, Hotel Longmont is the 83-room boutique hotel at the corner of Kimbark and 3rd going in, right there on the city parking lot, city-owned parking lot, no longer city-owned, but I do think there's a bit of a partnership there to get this thing off the ground. But anyway, the developers of that hotel, Thrash Group, out of the south there.
Thrash Group.
I know. Thrash, not to be confused with trash.
Yeah.
They are going to operate that restaurant themselves as part of what they're doing. And I think there was some discussion for a minute about whether they would operate it or, you know, have a third party come in, but they decided to. And they've done that in some of their other hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's called Longmont Supply. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the name of it.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah,
it's different than Tractor Supply.
Right.
That's Tractor
Supply.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because they do kind of have this like kickback vibe. They're trying to, it's funny, it's reminding me of the Lou Cardenas building. They're trying through the whole Hotel Longmont to, Hotel Longmont, honor the history of a female historical figure who is like foundational in the.
The boys got all the streets. Let's give the buildings to the ladies.
Betsy Rowell Thompson. So probably the, you know, presumably where Thompson Park and some of these other things were named after this woman, Betsy. They're trying to honor her legacy, you know, and what how she believed in Longmont. It's just kind of a funny thing now. Like, I thought that was really unique how Lou Cardenas' building did that. And they sort of named this development, which is not, you know, affordable. Or it's just a standard market development, market rate development. After a historic figure, just kind of like honor there rather than just calling it, you know, like the watermark or I don't know, something
some of the names. It's like, oh, yeah,
I know. I get it. Like, if you get to name something, you might as well just, you know, create some interest. And in her case, it wasn't like she was trying to like do something. Well, maybe she would argue that. But anyway, so this is also trying to honor the memory of this woman. And I think it's trying to honor Longmont's history and legacy too with Longmont Supply.
Like how many meadow views and mountain views?
I know.
Like shadow view and, you know, like.
So it's going to be the rooftop of the hotel, focus on wild game and seasonal produce, plus creative cocktails, local beer, and generous hospitality. How are we feeling about it, Patrick? What are your thoughts? Opinions?
You don't like food much, do you?
No, I hate food. No, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, wild game and stuff. It's not going to be like actually wild game.
Oh yeah, we had a conversation about that. tell me that what you mentioned about wild game at restaurants.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's laws around it. You can't just serve wild game in a restaurant.
Yeah, you can't like go out and shoot an elk and then like break it down and take it to the restaurant and sell it.
Yeah.
That's not. Safe.
It still has to be like what commercially slaughtered and
so, yeah, USDA farmed. Inspection facilities for restaurants to sell it. So
okay, so what does that render you able to use?
Beef, cow, you know, pigs.
But what would be wild game? What would they classify as wild game in this case?
Well, I mean, you can get farmed wild game. I think the closest one would be in Texas.
Gotcha.
So it's like farm raised. Wild animals.
Right, like farm fish, kind of. Farm raised fish, like the equivalent of that. Okay, gotcha.
So.
But like, not like wild boar, because you can't really get wild boar around
here. Well,
you
can get farm raised wild boar, as you will. I mean, what, the difference between boar and a pig, like they go feral within a couple of days of getting loose, so.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't take long.
They're just like.
They just kind of
loose. Suns out, buns out.
They're like, oh, we're free, let's go for it.
Wow.
So.
I didn't realize that it was just like, well, that's that. It's nice knowing everybody.
I mean, it's such a fast process. Like,
Yeah, I mean, if my dog got out, I think she'd probably just want to come home. But,
yeah, mine too. You know,
they were talking about how smart pigs are. And it's like, nah, society is over. Anarchy now. All pigs for themselves. Yeah.
They do have a rooftop going for them. I'm excited about that. Yeah, they put together some decent cocktails and a rooftop. That's going to be pretty sweet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't really go wrong there.
Well, no, definitely put some not. Speed bumps on Maine. It'll be perfect.
Well, this is going to be on Kimbark. That's the cool thing. It's tucked behind the Main Street traffic, which is nice.
Speaking of tucked behind Main Street traffic, just yesterday, the city updated their site talking about the Kauffman Corridor.
Yes. Have you seen their storyboard thing? Mm-hmm. I just looked at that today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we should mention
it's
that.
It's got like all of the stuff that I've been asking for.
Yeah.
So the Kauffman Corridor is supposed to run from basically Cheese and Porter's where they're putting in the transit depot down there. And then it'll go up to currently 9th. I thought it was supposed to go to 11th, but the stuff there that I saw
right
was
now.
Tonight. So they're basically going to, I think, keep the road the same, put a bus lane in the middle, two lanes of traffic, take out a bunch of the parking.
I think it's parking, bus and park driving, and then travel lane for cars in the center.
So it must have been changed a little bit.
Yeah, that was what I saw.
Okay. But then they're also going to have protected bike lanes and a lot of trees and stuff. So I'm into that because one of my biggest harps in this town is like, you can't get north-south on a bicycle. And even when you have bike lanes, it's like you're taking your life in your own hands because it's like, hey, look at this. This truck is, you know, they've been extended out 4 feet either way. And then, you know, you're in the bike lane.
But they won't be able to necessarily divert, like, trucks and other, you know, highway type of users of 287 onto the corridor, will they? Is that the idea?
I thought they were going to try and shunt stuff. I don't know what the plan is there. I know that they're going to start ostensibly next month. When Phil was on years ago, he said, oh, basically it'll be done by now. But it is.
It's, like, started, I thought.
Yeah, they're going to start. If they haven't started, they're starting now. Yeah. They're starting on 9th. They're going to work their way down toward 1st.
Yeah, they're taking it one block at a time, and it's supposed to be done spring of 26. So it's a two-year project.
One block at a time, and it didn't cost me a dime. It cost me several dimes because I live here and pay taxes.
But they have this cool thing they're calling like a story map about the thing. It's basically just like a fancy parallax scroll website. But we will post that in the show notes to go check out some of the renders and sort of like the urban planning theory, I think, behind the whole thing and why they took the approach they did. A lot of like mixed transit, blah, blah, blah. Check it out.
Yeah, and that's the kind of corridor I'd love to see, especially for a street, you know?
Like yeah, I think it'll be interesting. It'll look nice.
Gorgeous.
Okay, and I was also just raving coming in here after just touring the T. O'Kelly space on the 500 block of Main. One of the things they're doing that's so cool is, if you remember how Guitars Etc. was when you went in there, they had those really, it was tall, right? Like tall ceilings, almost like a two-story high thing. And they have like a mezzanine at the front of the space where you can go upstairs, and they put these like half roll-up doors. So you can sit on Main on a second story with these roll-up doors open, but not be like on the traffic. It is so cool.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, it looks really great. She was showing me the pictures a minute ago.
Oh, cool.
It's unbelievable. Huge bar in the center with just, I cannot believe the build out. I think this is the biggest build out of a place on Main Street that I've seen in ever.
Yeah, we got to peek at those, and it's
incredible.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
When are they supposed to open?
They were trying to do it by Cinco de Mayo, but I think they're not quite going to make that deadline, but it's going to be potentially just a week later.
Oh, awesome.
Like, really in May.
So they're close.
Yeah, they're super close.
So just like a week or so after Winchell's gets opened up.
What is going on with Winchell's?
So Winchell's, as I understand it, is a dispute between the insurance company and the owner, and he's trying to get more money to actually pay for some of the stuff. But then there was also a bunch of code stuff that needed to be updated, and I guess the insurance is saying, no, this is the story that's sort of, you know, the scuttlebutt from the internet.
Percolating.
So, like, get your salt shaker out, take a few grains.
And, yeah.
Because who knows? But that's the story that I've heard. And I went and looked in there the other day and you know, snapped a little upscrewdy thing around the under the plastic to see what's in there. And it's just studs, and there's nothing going on in there. So
I also heard JD Delight's closed up there on North Hover, 17th and Hover, north of there. There was like one of these only other donut shops in town. It was something before that. Then JD Delights bought it, and they took over. And I heard they just closed.
Oh, bummer.
So super sad. So we really, really don't have donuts. My sister traveled all the way to Westminster the other day to go to Lamar's because there's just... it's just that desperate right now.
Have you guys been over to Landline?
Sure, totally. Yeah. I mean, I like Landline. I think a couple podcasts ago I was raving about the apple fritter, which I feel like is like pretty good.
Their brown it's butter glaze one is probably my favorite.
The brown butters.
Yeah. They're
And I don't have access to good donuts.
I know. Really what they need to do is make an all potato donut just for like everyone who's gluten-free. Yeah. And I think the product will be popular just because you can't really get anything like that. But
you can't get anything like that.
I mean, it's so close. But yeah, you know, potato donuts and me, we get along okay.
Yeah.
I really miss proper donuts though.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's hard to make them right without gluten. Gluten is what makes it all work.
I know.
It's and just fried food's grease. Not bad usually. You know? I used to tear through an apple fritter. Danish. Oh my god, that's used to like I ate so bad when I was a kid. So like, well, it's cool. And I kid you, I would eat lunch and then I would take a dollar because you could get Little Debbie's for like a quarter when I was in school. And I would eat three Little Debbie's and a Mountain Dew on top of that, and I'd be like 135 pounds.
What was your favorite Little Debbie?
Swiss cake rolls, probably. Yeah, oatmeal pie, Swiss cake roll, and zebra cakes.
Swiss cake rolls.
Yeah, for years I ate that for lunch.
Those were my three favorite too.
They're solid jams, dude.
Brady.
Yeah.
We're so united. We're so connected.
Yes.
This is what brought us together. Honestly, we never knew this. This is news.
Yeah, this is news to us. Yeah.
Okay, I got one more closing and one more opening.
All right.
I heard, although this is unvalidated, but that's our jam here, is that Little Boot is closing. The Little Boot store.
Oh, the one in Maine?
On the 300 block, yeah.
Yeah, the one that does repairs and stuff?
There was the Las Botas that was up more north. Mm-hmm. At like the 600 block, but this is on the 300 block.
Okay, I can't remember what the name of the build or the one is that actually does.
Little Boot has like a blade sign, it's like yellow that comes out, kind of like a little. Anyway, I heard they're closing. They've been there a while, and opening a block down on the 200 block, 233 Main, where the shark tattoo spot was, they closed, and now a barber shop is opening there. It's this guy, Creative Minds Barber, and he has a shop already here in Longmont, and he's relocating his shop to that spot. Awesome. And he has other barbershops, like, in the area, and I guess he also, like, hosts this huge barbershop convention or something like that every year out at the Gaylord, so he's kind of a legit barber, but he's going to move his shop there and do, like, a cafe concept as well.
Oh, very
cool. Like, cafe lounge in heaven, because it's really big. It's, like, 4,000 square feet.
It's a big building.
Yeah, it's a big building.
Huge for a barbershop. Like, you don't need that much. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Patrick, do you have a favorite barbershop in town?
I recently started getting my hair cut, but I go to a guy named Chris in Niwot, so.
Oh, perfect.
He's great.
Nearby, near the work.
Yeah, he used to cut his own hair.
Oh, nice.
For, like, 20 years.
Yeah, I feel it.
Whoa, why the change? That's a big change.
I know. I just started wanting to have hair, so.
Wait a minute.
Because I usually just.
Oh, you would just go just like shave the
mouth. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I have hair. Super short, and it was have easy. It cut by someone.
I figured you just had like a really dope steel bowl from the kitchen. And you just put it on.
That'd be even better. Yeah. Just call it.
The haircut that I had when I was like 9, you know?
Yeah. Well, your cut looks good.
Bring it back.
Fresh.
Thank you.
Yeah. I would shout out the Gentleman's Barbershop up at 21st and Main. That's our go-to in our house. Although I do my boys and my husband's hair a lot, but when we. Like, every, like, third cut, just, like, repair everything that I messed up. We'll go to the Gentleman's Barbershop.
Yeah, the alignment's a bit out of this thing. I gotta take it in.
It is. It's like the alignment of haircuts.
It's like, where the heck did I go wrong?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Anything else we got going on?
No, I'm ready to move along. And
you don't want to talk about this airplane that landed?
Oh, yeah. What'd you got?
Yeah.
Can't forget the airplane.
This? Yeah. Did you guys hear about this?
No.
Vaguely.
Vaguely. No.
No recollection of the events in question center.
No.
Nothing.
So, jeez.
I was there at the event. I know you know. Well, purportedly, there was an aircraft on the way from Cheyenne, as they do, going to the Rocky Mountain Metropolitan Airport, which is in Broomfield, and it just was having mechanical issues.
Oh.
And I'm not sure the order of operations, but as I understand it, they called it in and said, hey, I'm having some trouble. They must have cleared it because he landed on 287.
Whoa, when did that happen?
Like Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was like Sunday.
Where on 287?
By Niwot Road or Old Niwot Road.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Busy stretch of highway to like just stop everything for a plane.
That would have been so fun to see.
Yeah.
So there was a guy on Facebook. So it's a sort of a fishtail. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but he said he was on his Harley and the guy was coming down right over the top of him.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa! And he said his wife, I think, must have been on the back or something. I don't know, she was close, and she's like, slow down. And he's like, no, I want to see it. So he, like, was chasing it right underneath it. And so, I'm going, okay, so this airplane's landing on 287, and he's, like, right underneath it.
Was
so.
This today?
It was Sunday, I think.
Sunday?
Yeah. It's, like, Sunday afternoon. They said the roads were pretty quiet. He got down. So it was.
Do you guys
have
the app FlightAware?
No.
You can like watch all the planes.
I've heard of
it. It's incredible. It's super fun. My sister got me turned on to it. She's always like geeking on. She'd be like, "There's this helicopter that's been circling and it's blah blah blah." And she'll like fall like. Usually it's either traffic accidents or like a news. The news helicopters will like, and so you can follow anything in the sky on this app and just zoom in on anywhere, like just zoom in on Longmont. And, like, if you're wondering about something that went over you this loud, just quickly get on your app and it'll tell you where the flight, you know, started from, where its destination is, how high it is, if it's ascending or descending, who the operator is, etc. Like, it's just kind of fun, random. I wish there was the same thing for trains.
But it's like not. A better version of that thing you watch on the plane. On the back of the seat with
the
plane.
Like the flight going. Thing. I know. Yeah. That's like my favorite channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see like birds and stuff that were passing when we're out there. So we have all that going on. Apparently Dutch Brothers is also closing for 30 days starting end of business day 4/21.
Oh no.
They're doing some reno. You a Dutch Brothers fan?
I don't really drink coffee out. I usually make coffee at home. Same. I'm pretty specific about my coffee preferences.
What do you do? What do you do? Pour over? Who are your
pour
beans?
Over. We grind our beans fresh every day, and we usually get them from Nimbus up in North Longmont. Chris is the bomb.
Nice.
I love his coffee. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm kind of spoiled. I just jam out on that. But I know the line at Dutch Brothers is always, like, down the street. So there's going to be a lot of lost people in Longmont for their coffee.
It's like one of them I don't really get. Like, it's fine. Which I had coffee there once. I'm like, yeah, it's coffee. And then so people love it. I don't know. Yeah. If you're going southbound, I guess it's easy. But
yeah, the drive-through thing, I think, is an appeal, too. It makes it easy.
Yeah.
You don't have to get out of your car.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm like you. I've got a coffee machine. I got a thermos. It's all right.
Yeah.
Life is good. So then, I guess,
I was thinking, you know, we had our live recording last time, which we just posted, and we announced quite a few things there, and I don't know, I thought it might be worth just repeating a couple of them. We don't have to discuss it, but in case people don't tune into live recordings, because sometimes they're not as, you know what I mean. But because we mentioned a few good ones, so just to repeat a couple.
One.
Jumper Goods is the new coffee shop that's opening 659 4th Avenue. So this is on 4th between Main and Kaufman.
Okay, yep.
Right next to Adorn,
yep,
the gift shop. And that'll be the woman, Emily, who's been front of house at... Aflore for years, and she and her partner are opening the lifelong dream to open a coffee shop, and so it'll be mostly coffee and then have a little bit of a retail component as well.
So, and we had Aflore on, and she's
that's Rachel.
That's Rachel.
That's Rachel, who owns Aflore. Emily's been kind of like the merchandising manager, I think, at Aflore.
And so she's leaving Aflore. She's okay.
To go do this. This is kind of her dream, or
those,
whatever.
Those ladies over there, they get after it.
Yeah. Wow. Totally. And then I think we talked about Bucky's. Well, that's kind of old news. And then we talked, just that there's a new Pilates studio opening downtown as well.
Yeah, it was like some...
This is on the backside of 324 Main. You access it from the alley, a.k.a. the construction site that is Hotel Longmont at the moment. But you can get there still from the alley, and they're a new classical Pilates studio downtown, Pilates. Which is kind of nice because we don't have a whole lot of like fitness right downtown.
And I think the joke I made about it at the event was like, it's not Baroque or something. I don't know.
Right. And then Spruce Confections opening up out at Nelson and Airport Road, where Q's Coffee was, in that little center. And then, of course, Cycle Hops closed, but there's already a restaurant committed to open there.
And Namaste is opened. So that one, is that in Lunada's space?
That one's in Cafe Lunada, exactly.
Yeah, they quick turnaround because Lunada switched hands like less than a month ago.
Yeah.
And they're already in there. And
I think Namaste, it's like Nepalese food. And what are the... You know, fried dough versions of what are those things called? The little things that are
gulab jamun,
samosas.
Yeah, is that right?
Those are like wontony things. They're wrapped. You look that up. I'm going to talk to these guys because they were nice enough to come in again. Actually, last time they didn't come in, they just sat at home, and so did we. So it was
momos.
Momos.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
Meat dumplings.
Got it. So we have Patrick and Lisa, as explained, intrepid restaurateurs. Right? Not originally from here, but here now.
Yeah.
And apparently like it well enough to like develop 3 independent menus.
Yeah.
Okay. We're just trying to see how quickly we can lose our minds.
Yeah. I was going to ask you guys before if you guys are going to get outside at all since the weather's been good, but I imagine there's not a lot of outside time for you guys.
I got out Sunday. It was great.
For like how long?
A few hours. Like
okay,
it was wonderful.
I'll take my laptop out there once in a while and sit in the sun. So.
Not like a Shawshank Redemption. Get in the yard, 15 minutes back inside.
Sometimes, depends on the weather.
So can you talk us through a little bit about your journey from where you started and then how you wound up here? Because I know you didn't start anywhere close to here.
No, not at all. We actually moved out here from Charleston, South Carolina. We spent about 6 years living there. He grew up outside of Atlanta. And I grew up in New Jersey. We met in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spent some time in Charleston, which if you've ever been, it's a huge foodie city. Mm-hmm. You know, with so many great restaurants, so many great bars, such a vibrant like lifestyle sort of. There's always something to do. There's always somewhere to go.
And a lot of history.
Yeah, a lot of history too.
As well. So,
so we got like really spoiled with that, and definitely miss hanging out with all the options that we had there.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've loved living in this area too. You know, the weather is incredible. Oh. The climate is incredible. We love the people here. Just the whole vibe. It's been awesome.
Yeah. And did you come here because there was a scene here? Or did you come because it's like, we need to bring the scene?
I don't know if we came with the intention of bringing a scene.
But... Yeah, we love the climate. That was kind of the big thing. Just so much different.
Got a map out and said, like, this place is dry and it's warm.
Yeah,
it's dry.
And there's
heat.
No bugs.
No bugs. And that was it?
Yeah. Pretty, I mean, for the most part.
Did you guys come
figure it out from there?
First, or did you just say, like...
We did. We came out here on a vacation for our anniversary.
Okay.
And just kind of was like, oh, this is really cool. Like, in the vistas here, like, everything about it was just super fun. Mm-hmm. So we were just like, oh, let's go for it.
That's awesome. When I first moved out, And even once in a while, still now, we'll be driving in the car and I'll pull like the Vanna White waving at the letters, you know. We'll just get up to the mountains and be like, and there's mountains.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in the Midwest, in Minnesota, and then we lived in Kansas right before this. And you come here and it's like, holy crap. So we just go, look at the mountains. Because there's nothing but wind, which is basically invisible out in the middle of Kansas. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you decided we needed something better than what was being offered. Is that where it kind of came from? Where did tell us about Faro and how that was born?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like we were looking at moving again to work for someone else. And then it was more like, well, we like this area. We're not really ready to leave. So let's just kind of, we figured out how to strap it together. So we just opened something that we wanted to have, basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, we get to work with farmers and work with local purveyors. I mean, this area is such a special place. And I don't think everybody really totally like realizes that, you know, like there's grain here, like all these heirloom grains and all of these great coalitions like the Colorado Grain Chain that are like trying to bring more heirloom varietals back. Then there's places like Moxie and Dry Storage that are actually milling these grains that are making it available to people like us, who then make our pastas and our breads and things like that with them. You know, like that alone is such a cool thing. But you can also get dairy here. You can get meat here. You can get all the veggies here. Like, you know, you've got all of the cool things coming over from the Western Slopes with all the stone fruit. Like, I've never had, when I lived in the South, we lived, both of us have lived in Georgia and both of us have lived in South Carolina. That's like the peach area.
Yeah,
and
they
like,
make a deal about that.
They do, peaches, and they lied to us.
Yeah. The peaches there don't have anything on the peaches from Colorado. Yeah.
What?
Nothing. I didn't even know they had stone fruit out here. I didn't either.
Just blew my mind. So.
And when I had, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. But yeah, from a chef's perspective, like there's just so many cool things to play with here, like why not,
right?
Why not?
And I like people like to kind of poo-poo us sometimes. There's once in a while I get somebody, it's like, yeah, there's a joke about democracy where it's like the worst form of government aside from all of the other ones that have been tried.
Yeah.
And like it's like Longmont, it's like, well, I could try somewhere else. Like I've lived across the nation, it's like, yeah, I don't really want to go anywhere else. Like, no. Yeah, it's the worst place in the world, aside from, like, literally everywhere else.
No, we really love it here. And we just saw, like, in Longmont, we bought our house in Longmont in 2019. And it reminded me a little bit of, like, downtown Charleston, but before it had gotten to where downtown Charleston is now. Mm-hmm. Like, prior, because I'd visited there plenty of times before it became, like, the foodie hub that it eventually kind of became. And I see that for Main Street a lot in Longmont. And, like, that I think also kind of sparked us wanting to, like, bring better concepts and more fun things and, like, more variety and different things from what's being done here now up here. And I'm still really hopeful that we can find more places to, like, bring things to downtown and just keep making Main Street, like, what I feel like it should be.
And there's so much energy down there now.
Yeah.
When we first moved here, you know, we moved here, we did what everybody does, you know, bought a car with four-wheel drive, got a dog. And so we'd walk the dog to Main Street, which was a long walk for us, but doable. And then, you know, it'd be like cricket sounds, you're kicking tumbleweeds out of the way, that sort of thing. And now it's like, oh, God, there's, like, restaurants open. There's stuff to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very vibrant. It's very exciting to see all that stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I would just love to see, like, some more cocktail bars and, like, maybe wine bars and things like that in addition to, like, just some different types of cuisine, maybe some higher-end places in Longmont. And I don't necessarily mean, like, Frasca-level high-end, but, like, you know, just something a little more a little less casual, I guess I should say. We've got a lot of burgers and tacos and things here. So
a lot of tacos.
It'd be cool to have a place you can go have like a proper date night.
Yeah, like if you're going to put a shirt with buttons on.
Yeah.
Where should I go?
Have, like a collar or something, you know?
A collar and I got a sweater on. It's like sweaters living up top. I live in Colorado. I don't really use these.
How long has Faro been open now?
2.5 years.
Nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. Been a crazy 2.5 years to have operated a restaurant for sure between COVID and all of the things, the economy, inflation, the supply chain issues.
I mean, you've just been hit with everything.
We nailed it. We nailed it. Yeah, timing couldn't have been better.
Hey, I mean, you survived like a move together, which is stressful as a couple, and you survived the pandemic as a restaurant, and you opened another one. You must have it a little bit figured out.
Yeah, this is we have our 9-year anniversary coming up too here in May. So.
Wow. Goodness me. Yeah. So tell us about your new one, your new concept. We're so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, we're moving the Ghost Kitchen Pie Dog up to the food hall. So that'll be cool to have it in a physical location.
We're just going to have one.
Okay.
Just one. Yeah, we're just going to take it from Faro up to the hall.
But they're going to have two stalls at the hall.
Two stalls.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we have two stalls at the hall.
Okay. Yeah. So you are having three separate menus, and you're innovating two sort of right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So expanding Pie Dog's menu to include some other cool stuff, and that'll have its physical location. And then the Japanese stall is going to be exciting. We're just looking at doing all the street food, so bao buns and ramen and
okonomiyaki.
Yeah, and the karage, which is the fried chicken, and just trying to make something authentic but still approachable. So,
and are you bringing this like same level of commitment to local in your new places, or
as much as possible? So, I mean, all the meat we use will still be from the Buckner Ranch across town, and then, I mean, at minimum, the chicken will be from Redbird, which is somewhat local, and then. We will use the menus have to be a little more consistent. So as things come into season, we will use them locally, but I just have to like fill in the gaps from stuff from out of state. So we're going to still do what we can to provide that kind of local source food. And then at the end of the day, it will still be high quality ingredients. We're working closely with like Japanese pantry and stuff to try and like, it might not be local, but it will still be insanely high quality. Sure. So.
Yeah, yeah, we don't want to cut corners with that. It's just not who we are as people in general, but like also definitely not as restaurateurs either.
Right.
You know, we want to make sure that we're bringing like authenticity to it and something that's really delicious. You know, and all of our grain, actually, all of our flour still too for Pie Dog will be coming from Moxie up in North Boulder, which is where we kind of have all of our.
And he's got fist pumps
from
now,
fist pumps from Oxy.
Yeah, like organic and heirloom and freshly milled. And I think it lends the quality to like the flavor of everything that you just don't get from regular processed flour.
Because we talk about the area and it brings like this cultural weight and this like, you know, it's a real phenomenon to say like, I've got this space and we're really dedicated to the area. We love it here and we're relying on this. And it's probably not the cheapest way to go, but it's damn good. And you know, we're doing it that way. So.
Yeah, it's not the cheapest or the easiest. Right. It's much easier to call up Shamrock and just have them bring the whole order instead of having to...
Mr. King Arthur, can you drop off a few little bags of flour?
Yeah.
Instead of having to chase down farmers and all of the joys that come along with whether or not they're going to show up with your produce that week. Right. We love them so much, but they make it really hard sometimes.
You look, come in, we're supposed to open. We're in a little prep right now.
Yeah.
It's like 5 o'clock, like, hey, dude, where's my greens? Yeah. Are you guys coming today?
It's really hard to make pizzas without tomatoes, man.
Yeah, it comes with its own set of challenges for sure. But
Yeah, so do you have names picked out? Are you able to share what's going on? Or is it just going to be like the eat form of like
no,
pizza?
It's, I mean, the Japanese is called Bahachi. It means...
They got all up on social media.
It means bar 8.
Okay.
But it's just, you know, simple name that we picked out. And
crazy side story on that. We actually put that concept together a year ago. We were trying to find brick and mortar space and just we're not finding the right thing at the right time. So we kind of put it on hold. And then it weirdly wound up being the 8th stall in the hall. Nice, yeah. So just like
you'd already picked Bahachi, the name.
Yeah, like a year ago. Wow. And then, we wound up in the 8th stall in the food hall. I'm like, this is definitely kind of...
Stars align.
Yeah, it was weird. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Oh, but you're good. I didn't want to leave the opportunity
show's all
for
about.
That. Yeah.
Just like talking over people.
Oh, 100%. Okay, so tell us more about the food hall. How many total stalls are there?
8.
Oh, so you're in the 8th one.
Okay, there are 8. Okay.
And you said all 8 are committed, right? Already?
7 are definitely committed. They're looking for, and I think the 8th is in the works right now. The one stall is like not vented, so there's no hood vents in it.
That's right.
So they had to find a very specific person for that. I think initially they were going to do sandwiches in there, but now it looks like they're going to be doing like an ice cream kind of deal in there. Yeah. So that was the latest that I've heard anyway.
What's the experience like on the inside? Like, you know, what's the feel? When is it open? When is it closed? Is there outdoor space? Like what's the whole experience like?
Yeah, I mean, it's, it opens at 11, closes at 9.
Okay.
And then I think 10 on the weekends, like Friday, Saturday. Yeah.
But you walk in, it's got a great vibe. it's not even finished yet, but you just walk in, it's nice and open. The stalls start on the right side and kind of curve around the back, and like, and then there's just the large lounge area and seating areas, and then a bar kind of on the left side of the building.
Who's doing the booze?
They are.
I think it's like the typical model where they hold the liquor license, yeah, make all the liquor sales, yeah, and then you guys do all those stalls. Okay, cool.
It's great, nice and open, super tall ceilings. I mean, it's from the grocery store. Mm-hmm. So, and then they have the skylights there that let natural light in too. Nice. So, and then a nice big outdoor patio that's on a gigantic sidewalk. So there shouldn't be too much traffic noise and
it
stuff.
It opens the front, the back?
It opens off to the west side of the building.
Yeah.
And on that west side, aren't there some dedicated brick and mortars as well? Or is that included in the 8 stalls that you mentioned?
So there's the 8 stalls, but then there's 3 retail spaces at the very front of the building. One of them, I believe, is going to be a coffee shop. One of them is going to be an arcade. Right. And then I think they're still looking for an operator for the third.
Arcade.
So that'll be really cool. I think that'll help make that really family friendly and... It'll be right next to Pie Dog, so, you know, the kids will be right next to the pizza. It'll be perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then the cooks off the line can dip out for
on their breaks.
Yeah.
Go to play some pinball.
Play some Frogger or something.
Yeah.
And there's a private event space in there, too. I almost forgot to mention that. There's, like, a 40-person private event space. So it's, like, off in the corner. It's got, like, really cool windows in it. I think it can hold up to 40 to 50.
That's cool. So you could go there and then just have everybody go get food where they want, type of thing.
And then you're going to, like, have your own private seating area, basically, to, like, hang out with everybody when they get back with their goodies. So
nice. Yeah. Very cool. And do you know some of the, at least, cuisine types that are committed to some of the other stalls?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's... They preset it so that nobody really has a ton of overlap. So, I mean, there's Mediterranean, there's Thai, Indian... There's Mexican, there's barbecue, and then like a burger fried chicken kind of deal. So it's nice, well-rounded amount of options.
I was talking to somebody and they asked, hey, you know, what's in that model? You know, are you sort of self-cannibalizing? You're worried about that? But it sounds like that's a bit not an issue because they've
been
fairly intelligent about, they're going to go, this taco place is better.
I mean, they initially wanted sushi in there, but I was like, man, if we could just do the street food, it'd be, it's just something different that we don't have up here. So
are you guys doing fish?
There's like this, I don't know. We call it like a sushi bowl that I will have some salmon on, but like that's the only fish item. I mean, we're focusing more on like pork belly and
stuff from around here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that was a big question because I'm going, well, if you're doing Japanese food, the seafood does typically feature fairly heavily. I've been watching a lot of Iron Chef, so I know a thing or two. Thank you. There's all sorts of fish I've never heard of. And then you look it up, it's like, oh, that's just that. Okay, that's cod. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, so that, you know, they're always using stuff like that. But if you're looking to go at nominally local, we're about as far away from ocean fish as possible in the world.
Pretty much. Yeah. So
what's timeline?
We won't be doing ceviche.
Ceviche. Well, fortunately, I have a line. I have a line on some. You can just get it right off the shelf.
Okay. For sure.
Yeah. I hear it's great. I hear you guys would love it.
Not totally
I
sure
understand
if that
you
fits
guys.
Our jam.
You love stuff that's packaged, probably irradiated.
Totally.
When's it set to open?
They are saying Memorial Day weekend.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
So it's super close.
Yeah, Teocalli in May and the food hall? That is nuts. That's great.
I wonder if I'll finally have a place to go with my family where, like, nobody will just complain.
Yeah. Right, well, that's the idea, right?
Yeah, you set them loose in the food hall. Let them go get whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
Then you can have whatever
you
want.
You go get, like, you go save money, buy a kid's meal at the burger stand. You go get, like, you know, your... like vegan bowl or whatever. Are you guys doing like vegan GF, any of that stuff, or is it just
The Japanese stall is completely gluten free.
No, really?
So that's
open till 9, you say. Not very far from where I live, you say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that'll be interesting. Like because it just inherently worked out that way.
Nice.
And then we're not gonna have gluten free pizza, but that's
if
just
you
how
figure
it
out, you crack that one, you let me know.
It's hard to do it, too, because we have the deck oven. So, like, even if we had a gluten-free crust that we brought in or something like that. Like, there's going to be semolina and all kinds of stuff that inevitably gets into the oven, plus flour. I don't know if you've ever, like, managed to get some of that.
I used to bake my own bread, and then it's like, oh, hey, bud, you got celiac disease. Yeah. You got to give all of this, just, like, give your peel, you know, get all this stuff away.
It's really hard to keep flour out of the mix.
No, it's just, like, it's going to do whatever it wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why that, like, like those places will blow up, like mills will blow up.
Yeah.
Because the stuff is full of energy.
Yeah.
It's like carbs. It's just energy. Yeah. And then it gets in the air and it catches on fire because it just goes everywhere. Which is why when they say, like, oh, we should make a potato dough, it's like, yeah, I don't know that I'd want to eat it. Yeah. Not if it's made in the same building, you know, because it is. It's Wiley stuff. So. Do you have any more questions about the food hall? I don't want to cycle off on that.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, just curious to get kind of your guys' background and how you got so into food, because you started almost as early as I did. I was in the Hy-Vee Deli at age 14, which may not have been legal. I started out at a catering gig to make a few extra bucks, and we did, like, fried chicken and stuff. And Hy-Vee's just like, you know, it'd be like a Kroger or a King Supers or something. My mom worked there. I got kind of the end. I'll tell you, like, fried chicken that's been in a lugger for, like, 8 hours straight, and you pull it out. Oh, my God. and then, like, we'd have the ribs and stuff, and we would do these parties. And so I started off doing that. And then you get that skill set, and I just was like, well, I'm not sure what else to do. I'm going to go study, and then I'll keep doing this, and I'm going to make some crepes, and I'm going to So, like, what was that like for you?
I mean, it was pretty much the first job I had, and, like, I don't know, weird and enjoyed the chaos and the characters you meet. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And you're just like... Cool. And I hated school so much, and it was pretty much the opposite of that. And I was like, let's just – I kept doing it forever and just got really good at it. So I was like, well, I guess this is what I'm going to do. So, but I love it. I mean, I love food. And, you know, the more and more I get, like, involved with farmers and just tasting things, like, super fresh. Like, it just – I get so excited about it. And it was just one of those things where – taking these simple ingredients, like, I joke around kind of and tell people I don't do much to it, but it's like, it doesn't need a lot to be incredible. So,
yeah, there's a reason why you can go to Italy, get a caprese, which is like, what, four ingredients, maybe five, you throw salt on it. It's like tomato, olive oil, cheese, and basil.
We make them here in the summer when it's peak season tomatoes. We get fresh buffalo mozz from Italy and then just add a little flake salt, some good olive oil and fresh basil. And it's like,
it'll pop your skull clean off.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And I didn't do anything.
So. Yeah.
No, just let the ingredients speak for themselves. Yeah. And that's kind of another part of, like, sourcing local. That's maybe, like, not on the sustainability agenda. Is the local food just tastes better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it, when it's in season, we were talking about this morning, like, especially fruit specifically.
Fruits
I feel
especially.
Like, it's really, really important.
Like,
to
you can get
season.
A cucumber from anywhere,
and
it's a cucumber. Like, it's still great, but, like,
if you get
getting
it. Like, one of those carved red little blocks, and it's like, that's a strawberry, and you eat it. It's like,
yeah, they're not
the strawberry
to be white
that,
and
with
crunchy.
The texture of an apple.
Yeah. And the flavor of a sponge that's been sitting at the bottom of a sink for a while. Yeah, so that's more sugar than what was it that, like, you're 16, you're starting in a restaurant, and you're with all these lunatics, you don't like school. What was it that got you from that, like, probably a psychotic young man working, because that's what I was. Like, oh yeah, because the fury and the, like, if you've never worked in a kitchen. It's fury, it's hot, it's smoky, it's energy. You can do whatever you want as long as you're on the line getting it done. They don't care.
Yeah.
But what got you from there to opening your third restaurant? Because there's, like, most guys either, you know, sort of just like, you know, squeak by or burn out. And you are now opening you two together. Like, what got you to that?
I doubt they'll stop here either.
No, I don't think they'll stop here.
I mean, just, I don't know. I felt like just doing this, I don't know. I feel like I owe it to the public to just keep going. But she's a big part of it too. I mean, like, just trying to get everything put together, you know, I feel like without the help I probably would have quit a long time ago. But
she's like, get a haircut. Get a job.
I'm the crazy person yelling at everybody in the background, making sure they're all doing what they're supposed to do.
You know, like, I can be super productive, but I need to have, like, a taskmaster, too.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? Where is it? And he's like, did you write the blurb? It's like, yeah, I'm good to it. Yeah. And she's like, did you do it? It's like, yeah, no, I'm doing it right now. It's almost done.
And Lisa, you're a sommelier, right?
Some pastry chef, you name it. I've dabbled in all the things in this industry.
Oh, yes. So what got you going? Because, I mean, I was in the same boat where I'm like, I need some money. This looks crazy. You know, like, and then I did it for like 15 years.
Yeah.
What got you going?
My mom got me a job when I was 16 as a hostess.
Mm-hmm. Nepotism?
What's that?
Nepotism?
Maybe. When I turned 18, they moved me up into serving. And then when I turned 21, they moved me into bartending. Mm-hmm. I spent a really long time doing that. But while I was bartending, I was always in my kitchen, learning how to cook from cookbooks, reading magazines, running around on my days off, trying to find like crazy ingredients, whatever it was. And I mean, like, this is like a long time ago, like the pre-Google, like when Amazon was still a book company, like kind of thing. So it was definitely not the world that we live in now where you can like literally get anything and like have it delivered to your door in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, you want gochujang? Yeah, next delivery, what do you want?
Exactly. Yeah. There was no, like if it wasn't in the stores by your house, you weren't like getting your hands on it unless you like could call somebody overseas and like whatever, you know. So that kind of became like an obsession for me. I think I really started to go down the rabbit hole with baking, you know, in addition to cooking, too. I love to do both, but pastry just really kind of, like, spoke to me. I think there's a level of, like, being super artistic that's involved in that and very precise. And I'm an artist, I think, deep down in my soul in one way or another. However I can express myself, I'm here to create things. So once I, like, got into that, I wound up going to school. For pastry, I moved up to Charlotte, and that's where I met this guy.
You figured I needed a little bit more info on the cooking side of things.
Well,
let's go see if I can find an expert. This quiet one in the corner seems like he knows a bit.
Yeah, well, we got to know each other, and then we wound up, like, after 3 months of dating, moving down to Charleston together. And I think we tend to feed off of each other a lot with coming up with creative ideas and getting into food or going out to eat and having experiences together or traveling or whatever it is. They're just constantly finding inspiration from each other and then somehow putting that out on a plate for somebody somewhere.
Yeah.
We kind of speak the same love language, I think, in that department too. Just cooking for people cooking really for fuels people us.
Like when people come over, it's like, what could I do? So just sit down, grab a glass of wine. I got it.
Yeah.
I'm making, if you touch me while I'm making this hollandaise, it's going to be worse and maybe more.
And in my case, it'll be like, I will get you the perfect wine pairing to sit there while you're doing nothing and waiting for my food.
Yeah. If it's Franzia, if that's your level, we'll just get it for you. It's fine.
Yeah. We both worked in a really high-end restaurant in Charleston. It was like 4-star, 4-diamond in a really high-end hotel. And that's where I kind of like picked up my wine.
That sounds like a real intense crucible kind of.
It was a really intense environment for sure, but I don't think anything shaped either one of our careers probably quite as much as working in that environment. Yeah. Like that was a game changer. And there was no going back after that either. Yeah. So I think we carry a lot of that with us. But yeah, like almost every person, we had at least 3 advanced sommeliers as far as like the Court of Master Sommeliers. So it's like a level 3, like just before you hit master.
Oh, wait, there's different levels of sommeliers?
Yeah.
How many?
For the Court of Master Sommeliers, it's 4.
Whoa.
The W sets, I'm not totally familiar because I haven't dabbled in that one quite as much. But everybody there was at least a level 2 or had their level 1. So there was no getting around like not learning about wine in that building. We tasted wine every single day in lineup. You know, we'd always talk about it. We had a 1,200 bottle list. We had like these crazy,
So again, 1,200 bottle list.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. That's a... You learn
some things,
I hope, that or you're gone, right?
And you have people that are obsessed with learning and talking about it all the time around you. So like there's no way to not. Get involved in that in one way or another.
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah.
And then on the kitchen side, so you're not a baker? No. doesn't appeal.
He does pretty good on the pastry department, though. Sometimes. If I have to give him a task, he's usually pretty good on it.
Is it the because my wife bakes, and I'm like, no, it's I can't with the like I'm supposed to what measure this like.
Yeah, I like to be able to wing it.
Yeah. Like this olive oil isn't right. Yeah.
What well, she said about precision is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely a necessity.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you bring, oh, it's a teaspoon, it's a tablespoon. I don't know. It's garlic. Yeah. Who cares? But when it comes to a leavener, you're in big trouble.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And especially once you get up here to altitude. It's a whole other game.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That was really hard to learn.
Totally.
Yeah.
When I first moved here.
Yeah.
Okay, I got two quick hitters for Lisa and Patrick.
Toke.
Okay, for Patrick, what's kind of like something you're throwing together a lot for yourself these days in the kitchen that you could like recommend to people to thing that you're
something
really enjoying.
Simple and quick. Oh my goodness. Well, it depends on the time of year. So,
Well, like now.
Now's tough. Dang. We're just barely getting radishes and greens.
The man spent all of his ideas coming up with menus.
I know.
Right now.
Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, I don't know. Like I eat egg sandwiches all the time.
Jam.
You know, a couple farm eggs scrambled
on
our house-made bread. That's, that's what I eat.
Do you include a condiment with it?
I guess if you count cheese and butter.
Yes.
Well, that does
sound best. Do you fuse them or are they separate or are they fused together? I learned to make an egg sandwich in my house. You put the egg in, you like smash a piece of bread into it,
and then
you flip it over and you in the butter you fry the piece of bread.
That sounds great.
I've never done that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's super good. And the
grilled cheese, but for egg.
Yeah, you could use cheese if you want to.
But like that style of cooking.
Yeah, but you just go, you know, put it on, and you can maintain the yolk if you want to be ginger about it, or it tends to cook a bit easier
because
my GF bread doesn't hold up particularly, and it's like. If you cook GF bread in butter before you eat it, like, it's not bad.
No.
It's really not bad. But if it's not, it's a little... So, toast it or do it in the butter. But I'll take that, and now I'm, like, more heart conscious or whatever. So I do an olive oil, just do it pretty damn good. So olive oil, egg, smash a piece of bread into that, and then once that's sort of where you want on that side, you flip it over, put out the temp that you need to cook the thing through as much as you want, get it crispy on the other side. I just do salt and pepper on the top. Two of them, and then try to have something that's not like just
sounds great
cholesterol.
Yeah. I love it.
that's my. And then in Britain, they call them toad in a hole. They'll cut the ring in the middle.
Yeah. That was the one I thought you were talking about at first, and I was he didn't mention cutting a hole. So
no hole. No, it's not technically a toad in a hole. Yeah. So, but that's also a thing.
Okay, and then my quick hitter for Lisa. Hopefully, this isn't offensive, but you have $20, maybe $25. What's a bottle of wine you can buy that's unoffensive to a wine enthusiast?
Oh, no, that's not offensive at all. That's actually a great price range.
Oh, okay.
I feel like you can definitely let's go
with the 20 then.
Yeah, I feel like you can still definitely get some really great bottles. I think people have this illusion that like wine has to be expensive to be good. And I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even a lot of the stuff on our list, I think is extremely approachable, like price point wise. Mm-hmm. Are you looking for like a specific
bottle?
Totally.
Something you would like find at one of the liquor stores in Longmont.
I don't know. I haven't bought wine in the liquor store in a while.
Where do you buy wine?
Buy it from the restaurant.
We get it from our restaurant.
From your distributors?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got to make it accessible.
I know.
Give a grape in a region at least, maybe.
Yeah, a grape in a region. I mean,
I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, no, it's totally fine.
She's like tallish, blonde.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. I think I know her.
I mean, honestly, this time of year, I think a bottle of Grüner Veltliner would just like do the trick. It's an Austrian varietal. It's really crisp, bright white, but it's like the perfect thing to pair with all of the weird spring vegetables too. So if you're gonna have like radishes or asparagus or something with like a little bit of lemon maybe drizzled over top of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
It'd be great with that. It's great by itself. I would
probably
go that route.
A $20 Grüner Veltliner?
Totally.
Yeah? Okay.
You probably go to Wyatt's and find some. They have a pretty good selection in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And I hear that you sort of got inspired by this whole celebrity chefs. You used to watch a bunch of cooking TV? Is that true?
I haven't watched a lot of cooking TV in a while. No, I did when I was younger.
Yeah.
Like back when Food Network was actually about cooking and not about game shows.
Yeah. And had some of the magazines and Bon Appetit or whatever.
Bon Appetit and Gourmet Magazine. Mm. which like that doesn't even exist anymore.
So who is your like your top or your top three if you had to pick like one person they're gonna advise like, hey, check out this lady, she's got these cool restaurants, we're gonna bring her on the show. Like living or dead, who would be the what show would you wanna go on?
Like cooking show?
Cooking show or just you know, like a cooking restaurant based style show. Where would you wanna be?
I don't know. I've always loved watching the Chef's Table things on like Netflix.
Like Netflix? Yeah, that is really good.
That's probably one of my favorite. What else do we watch?
What about you,
We've
Patrick?
Had a couple. Oh, Chef's Show. We loved that.
Chef's Show was good.
Chef's Show was really good. I kept hoping that they were going to make another one.
Me too.
It was a little bit of a slow start in the first season, but I feel like they really got
their
groove. I thought
that was super fun, and I watched that movie. Is this called Chef?
Chef, yeah.
I would recommend that. That's
how accurate love that is movie. The Bear? Did you watch that one? That was called The Bear Bear.
The Bear.
The Bear, yeah.
I would say it's probably the most accurate representation of our like industry right now that I've seen on TV for sure.
Including the end when he's opening the cans.
The cans thing, I don't know anything about that. That was kind of a bizarre thing.
But yeah, that was a bit bizarre.
Something all of us secretly hope that we had a whole like wall full of money. But
spoiler alert.
Sorry.
You set her up for that.
I did set him up and knock him down. Because I, especially during the pandemic, I relaunched my love of like cooking shows. Mm-hmm. And I had never really watched Jacques Pépin or like Julia Childs.
Oh, yeah.
And I went hard.
Yeah.
Like, we watched like everything we could get on Amazon. And I loved it. And like, I don't love everything that he made, but I loved it. And then before that, like Bourdain and his first book, Kitchen Confidential.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
I'm so watching good. A lot of his stuff, too.
I worked in that Missed kitchen. That. You know? Yeah. Like, I worked there with those lunatics.
So, yeah.
Yeah, all good. Yeah. Annie's making signs. We got questions. We're talking kitchens. We're getting the heck out of here. We're going to close this shop down. She's got to go home. She's got kids. We're out of here. That's a wrap. I too much prepared. What do you want?
I don't know what today is, what dimension.
It won't happen again. Yeah, I can promise you that.
We'd be talking until 8 o'clock tonight.
I could talk restaurants and kitchens for a long time.
Same.
I've worked in so many. Even now, like I said, like I don't know what else to talk about. We've watched like 4 seasons of Iron Chef in the last 3 weeks. So, you know, it's just on.
Fun show.
It's
fun
just
show.
Insane. Yeah. So anyway, I can sit and talk with you guys all night. It's
okay.
been fun.
Same. Bahachi.
Bahachi.
Opening up in May at the Parkway Food Hall. Mm-hmm. Definitely come check it out. We're super excited, you guys. Congratulations. We hope it goes really well.
Really excited too. And hopefully if that things do really well there, we can make that an actual brick and mortar one of these days. So.
Boom. That's the whole point of food stalls.
Yeah.
It's such a launch pad.
And I love it. It's GF. I'm like, oh,
I'm
coming.
Yep. All right.
We have a safe space.
Well, thanks, Patrick. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
And thanks, Brady. And thanks to Andy Epler and David Cutter Music for our intro and outro music. And follow us, like us, hit us up at sidedishlongma@gmail.com. And we'll see you in a few weeks.
Peace.